Today's gospel reading comes from the 17th chapter of Luke. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean, but the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." This is the gospel of the Lord. Well, I'm this big because I grew up on an island as an only child, and when my mom made cookies, which were as good as my grandma's, it was just me. So the doorbell never rang. That story is funny for others, not for me. Here's what we're going to talk about today. Who are we? That's the question. And the answer is, we are God's body. So when I say, who are we? We're going to say, we are God's body. Who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? And the answer is, God wants our attention. So what does God want? God wants our attention. And the third thing is, what are we to do? And the answer is, show mercy. So what are we to do? Show mercy. This text, first of all, is a text where a bunch of people are healed. Not just one person, but a bunch of people. A group of people are healed. So that's unusual in the gospel. And I was thinking about the scene and this story, and I think it relates to us. I think this is a parable for us as the new body of Christ. This particular church is this body in Lacey, doing things. Casey alluded to some of the amazing things we're doing in his testimony about why he is a member here and what gets him excited about being a member here. So what I want to do is, in this story, those lepers are kind of like, you know, if you go around town, if you drive around town, if you travel to places, all over the places you see someone and they're maybe sitting on the corner or they're standing and they have a sign. And it's a hopeless sign. Or, well, some would say homeless, but it kind of feels hopeless because they're just standing there and they're just calling out to everyone, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me." And like in the story of Jesus, eventually someone does, because random people get their attention by these signs, and it may be God pursuing them. So what I want to do is offer you just 7 things to think about. Just a mere 7, and I'm going to go from the easiest to the hardest of things that I believe maybe God might be calling our attention to. So, and these are, again, I'm reading a book and it talks about actionable items, things you can actually do. So these are things that all of us could actually do right now after church to think about it, but maybe God is calling your attention to these things. So these are the 7. Oh, and by the way, who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. And what are we to do? Show mercy. All right, so number 1, the easiest thing is money. Well, Casey Art, where's Casey at? Yep, Casey already talked about that, so I don't know. He gave a wonderful talk about money. So I'll only say that if God is calling your attention to address our deficit of the spending that we do, because really, you know, we've been here now going on 5 years and we have the budget hearings, but at this point, the monies that we spend and that we plan to spend, it's pretty bare bones. There's nothing fancy. I mean, we've fine combed it to death. You know, you're gonna, when you come to the budget hearing, it's gonna be, oh, this looks very similar. Well, we've kind of figured it out. So it might be that on this easy first one, God might be calling your attention to address that deficit. We have, you know, about $20K to make up through the end of the year. That might be something in your life, in your world. God might be saying to you, oh, all right, I can help with that. I love what this church is about. I love being in this church, and we haven't been paying attention to finances as much, so I'm going to help with that. Because who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. And what are we to do? Show mercy. Yeah, you might even have to show mercy with money sometimes. All right, second one. This one might even be easier. October 21st, there's a beautiful volunteer opportunity over at Mountain View across the way. They're doing this obstacle course thing with students all day long, and they only need 30 volunteers. So now, maybe we can get to 30 or maybe not. But look at your calendars. Think about October 21st. It's going to be put together by the Lacey CrossFit, and they're just going to really have a great day of kids being active. It's just fun to do. Now, if you're an active person, well, and you have that time, maybe God is calling your attention to that. If you're not an active person and have that time, maybe God is calling your attention to it. Because, yeah, you don't have to do the course with them. You're just guiding the kids and making sure they're safe, you know. And then you can have some juice and whatever else snacks they have. But so that's another opportunity. It's a very specific, very simple thing. But who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. All right, the next one. Now, this is just my order of how hard things are. You can decide if this is the right order or not. Embrace clean kids. You know, clean kids is the laundry that's been mentioned before. We've talked about it a lot. You know, we've had families come, and now we've got a beginning of a matrix of volunteers who have committed so far. But maybe that might be a thing. Some of you who haven't volunteered, maybe you want to do that. Support that new ministry of St. Mark in some way. I mean, this is a ministry that changes lives directly, immediately, so that kids can go to school with clean kids and just, I mean, with clean clothes. And just from the initial reports I've heard already from some teachers, I mean, it's just, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. So maybe God is calling your attention to that. Who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. All right, next one. Prison, and we're on four. So there's only, well, it's seven. So we're halfway already. Prison congregation, Living Stones. Now, you've heard of this. I mean, I've talked about it. I'm a member of the board. I happen to be the vice chair or whatever I was elected to. I'm not sure what it's called. I can't remember what it's called exactly. But we have this congregation in prisons and at the Washington Correction Center. And what's unique about this place is that every Saturday, offenders who have the privilege of getting to worship can go to worship and have a point of grace and a point of contact with us who, when it's our turn to go as a congregation, and we've had two turns so far, and another turn is coming up, and we'll make it very clear when that turn is. But maybe God is calling your attention to that, to look towards those who seem like they don't have freedom and are in a place that probably none of us really want to be. So now this is more of a stretch, but maybe in your heart you've thought for a long time, you know, I need to go in a place that stretches me, that moves me out of my comfort zone. I need to go in, and I can promise you, it's safe. I mean, it'll be scary at first, but you're in with a group of other people that are going in, volunteers. And we go in, and we're an outside presence to some people that's the only person they might see from the outside for the week. And all we do is we sit and worship and just be a person. So when that opportunity comes up, I encourage you to see if maybe God is calling your attention to that opportunity to come. And of course, we give financially in our budget. You'll see that. We give $1,000 a year to the prison congregation. It's one of the purest grace points that if you go, you will ever experience. God's grace moving in this place, the Spirit of God just flowing in there with the music, and it's a beautiful thing. So, who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. All right, number five. Terry Kylo. Who knows who Terry Kylo is besides Beth? Terry Kylo was a dorm mate of mine in Rainier or Hinderly at PLU when we went to where I went to college. And it turned out in that dorm, on that second floor, I think there's like 10 pastors that came out. You know, while I mean, it's like something. It was the water. I don't know what it was, but it was, I mean, it was all male dorm on top of it, so I don't know what. But anyway, here we are, 10 pastors later. So Terry is a colleague who, he has a passion for reaching out across the faith divide with Muslim folks. And so that's his new calling. He just announced, and it's called Neighbors in Faith, that he feels his calling, his attention is turning towards what can we do together with our Muslim sisters and brothers to make our place a better place, you know, to offer peace and all the things, because it's easy. Because for many of us, maybe when you say Muslim or Islam, that might not be a positive word. Now, I only know it mostly as positive. When I was younger, I worked with a couple of folks who were Muslim, and we had a wonderful discussions, theological discussions, how the world works, how it doesn't work, how they pray, how I pray, how we give and don't give. And, you know, I can say that the people who follow the Islamic faith, there's a family of Muslims who does a better job than me with my mother right now. Because in her neighborhood in Bothell are a couple of twin daughters who are in eighth grade, and they've come and given her cookies and brought her meals, and she's really just had a good time with them. You know, she's a grandma who, you know, needs to be a grandma occasionally, so it's nice. And so here is her Muslim neighbors, this very thing, Neighbors in Faith. They're doing exactly what Terry is after. And my mom is living that out with them. Maybe that's something for us. Maybe in our community. Pastor Amy over at Church of the Good Shepherd has kind of started to work in our area with that. And we have a couple of worshiping places here that we could partnership. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe that's a big reach for some of us. And maybe not. But maybe God is calling your attention to that. Who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. And what are we to do? Show mercy. All right, the next one. Racial justice. Oh, I was quiet. I was just seeing what that sounded like. I was like, yay, racial justice. Let's talk about that. So, I went to a conference at PLU. It was called Racial Justice from a Lutheran Perspective, and different people did lots of different presentations. And the one that struck me the most, maybe because I can relate to this person, is the ethics professor there, who's been there for a while, and he talked about what can we as white people, and I'm looking around, and most of us fit that category, so most of you can relate to what, or maybe not relate, but at least you're going to hear what he said to us. He said, meaning well is not enough as white people. White people shouldn't tell people of color how to fight for racial justice. White people need to take responsibility for our own education on racial justice. It's not their job to make us comfortable. And then he talked about a thing called surge, showing up for racial justice. Because I see it in the prisons. Our incarceration rate in the country is horrible. You know, it's horror in terms of ratios of how many white prisoners there are and black prisoners and Hispanic. I mean, black prisoners are hugely, grossly outnumber white people's, you know, statistically. And I just saw, and maybe you might want to call your, I'm calling your attention, maybe God might be calling your attention as well to join me. There's a film that I just saw advertised, and it's called 13th. Have any of you seen this review for 13th, for the 13th Amendment? And it's a documentary about, and it talks about our, how we are horrible in the world in terms of incarceration, and especially for black people, and really does an expose on that. So I want to show that here. I want to watch that here because I just think it will be informative. And that's at least the beginning of, for me to show up for racial justice. And maybe it might be partnering with, and I looked up, you know, in Google, Black Churches, Lacey, and New Life Baptist Church came up. Bishop Obey, I think is how you say his name. Maybe my next step is I need to talk with him and see what can we do as communities of faith. And again, maybe this might be what God is calling your attention to. Because who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. All right, the seventh and final one. I mean, I could get harder, but we're just going to go with seven. So here's the final one. And some of you have heard this one before. So we have the clean kids. That meets the number two need for homeless children in our school district, in our community. But what is the number one need for homeless children in our community? Right, housing. Right, community. I mean, a place, a safe place to stay. So, something that God has drawn my attention to very powerfully from the first time I've heard it, this term, was unaccompanied youth, and you've heard me talk about it before, and squeaky wheel gets the grease, so I'm going to keep talking about it until, probably till I die, or until there isn't that problem. So unaccompanied youth are kids in our school district, around 60 every year, who go through school by themselves with no support, no family, no friends. They might be, you know, at a friend's house here and there until they're no longer welcome, or you know, but they have nothing, and yet they go forth to finish their education. I believe, because I think the time is right, our legislature has talked about having a homeless stability act for homeless youth, for housing. We are in the right pocket and in the right moment to make a difference in the lives of unaccompanied youth in our community right now. And these are orphans. These are orphans. And the Bible is very explicit. Take care of your orphans. So I'm trying to be as clear as possible. I feel God is telling us, pay attention. Pay attention to the orphans. You have space here. We have space. This body of Christ has space right by our garden for five tiny houses. Five unaccompanied youth, I believe, could be accompanied by us and housed by us. So the number one need can be solved for those five who are willing, because that's the thing about unaccompanied youth. They're survivors, you know. They're going through life and they're going to get by. So we have to show extreme mercy and extreme openness, and it has to be on their terms. And the first question always is, well, who's going to supervise them? Well, unaccompanied youth are not supervised by anybody because they're making their way by themselves. Our job would simply to be to build five beautiful, welcoming houses for them to finish their education in. And if they want more accompaniment, if they want more love from us, there's probably some of us here who might be called, might be attentive by God to say, yeah, I can help that person. I know in the school district right now, there's 3 or 4 people who are housing homeless kids. I mean, they're doing that. They could probably lose their jobs if you really, you know, thunk that through. But they hear. They're attentive. They want to show mercy. Who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. All right, so that's all outward stuff. But God is so good. And in the middle of that psalm, it said, we remember the wondrous things God does because God is full of love and compassion. So we are the lepers in this story as well, because we're here right now. We've brought our signs, whatever our needs are, here. And God has said, come here and be healed. And then in the text, the leper gives thanks, which is Eucharist. Which is Eucharist. Which is our meal. Where we gather together and remember that of God's grace and mercy and compassion. So we eat this mercy every time we come together. And then we sing and we give praise and we breathe deep. All the good things that we do here. So that we can be open and we can be fully who we are, which is to be attentive to what God would have done. I wear this battered yellow shirt. I don't know if you can see it. God's work, our hands. You see me wearing these stinky yellow shirts. I mean, I've got 5 of them. They were $8 a piece. I just wear them because they just keep reminding me, God's work, our hands. God's work, our hands. Who are we? We are God's body. What does God want? God wants our attention. What are we to do? Show mercy. Go forth and go on your way. Amen.